Welcome to the High and Low Podcast. This is your host, Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo, and I went on an unexpected dive tonight. I started looking into the different cast members on The Valley. I started with public records, then I shifted over to what's the artist formerly known as Twitter, and then I found myself on Reddit. I went all the way in, neck deep. I had questions. I don't know these people, all right? I didn't follow Jax and Brittany. Okay, so I didn't know these people were in their sphere, in their world. So I had to dive in and understand the dynamics. And so I went back in time into Instagram feeds, all kinds of stuff. And I saw just how long Jax has been hanging out with a lot of these people, which is a long time. So I do believe that Jax and Brittany are truly friends with Jesse and Michelle. Their last name is Lally.
Lally.
L-A-L-L-Y. And then they're also truly friends with Danny and Nia. Now, look, I went so deep, I don't even know where to start. But we'll start with the Lallys. So Jesse and Michelle, they met when they were real estate agents at Hilton and Highland. Yes, that's right. Rick Hilton's firm, the same firm where Mauricio got his start. They got engaged in 2017. Jesse seems pretty mildly fixated on the Ritz properties, especially the Ritz in Paris. So it's a favorite stay of his. I've learned a lot in the last, hour I've been scrolling. And the Pomeranian tattoo that he has on his arm, he had a dog named Milano. So he was very, very, very close with his dog, Milano. Now, why did I start looking? I started looking because there was a preview that came out for the next episode where Kristen accuses, and this is so funny, this is the world we live in now where Americans have been pitted against each other. It's so fun, such a fun time to be alive, where Kristen has been allegedly telling people that Michelle is a Republican and a racist. And it's such an unexpected turn for the Valley to go in, considering we're still not over, the world is still not over. Kristen and Stassi, their entire reason that they were no longer on the show was because they called the police on a Vanderpump Rules cast member named Faith Stowers. And the backstory around it is that apparently Faith and Jax had a relationship, an affair, while he was still in a relationship with Brittany when they were dating. So instead of everyone focusing on Jax and what a piece of crap he is to have done that to Brittany, Stassi and Kristen focused on Faith. In an article from The Cut in 2020, Faith says, quote, they wanted to attack, 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 attack. She says it five times. Faith said, I was wrong. I was this. I was that. Calling me names. Saying my hair was nappy, which is weird coming out of their mouths. I'm going to try not to rage tonight. Oy. The article says the final straw for Faith was when Kristen and Stassi tried to get her arrested, calling the police after the Daily Mail wrote a story about a black woman allegedly drugging and robbing men that she had met in Hollywood nightclubs. Quote, they called the cops and said it was me, Faith said. Article goes on to say Stassi herself bragged about the incident, as Reality T reported during an appearance on the Bitch Bible podcast in 2018. So this must have happened in 2017, 2018. Stassi accused Faith of stealing credit cards. We know what a big deal that is from the Marco Marco lawsuit. Not small potatoes to steal credit cards. Actually a very big deal. So Stassi accused Faith of stealing credit cards and boasted that she and Kristen had tried to match images of the woman reported in the Daily Mail article with images of Faith and reported that to the police. Quote from Stassi, we are like, we just solved a fucking crime, Stassi said. We start calling the police. The police don't give a fuck. It's really hard to get in touch with the police unless it's an emergency. You think? It's Los Angeles. Just a note, I try not to curse on this pod because, I mean, I try to use it sparingly. So it's irritating to me when somebody curses twice for really no impact or reason. I mean, use your words, pick up a dictionary. I didn't need to hear the F word twice just now. It did nothing for me. It makes me judge harder. I'm already irritated.
I'm heated right now.
Kristen also posted the Daily Mail story on Twitter in April 2018, writing, quote, hey, Tweeties, doesn't this ex hashtag pump rules thief look familiar? Someone put her on MTV and gave her a platform for press. I didn't want to go there, but I'm going there. All right, now I'm cracking up because it says on the same day that Faith's interview about this whole situation was posted on Instagram, both Stassi and Kristen posted this. Remember those solid black boxes that people did in 2020? It was for a hashtag Blackout Tuesday. It reminds me of, there's an image of Armie Hammer and he's wearing a pin. He's going to the Oscars or some hoity-toity party. And he has a pin on that says hashtag time's up. I should really just get it framed. Few things in life summarize to me more how I feel when I see people jumping on like a socially acceptable anger thing on the internet, something to say, yeah, I stand with that. But do you? How do we know that you really do? How about you just be about your actions all the other days of the year? Anyway, I get it. For you know, I think it's great. These ideas come up. People think about ways that they can show solidarity, ways that they can support communities. And that's wonderful. It's just things like this, reading this about Stassi and Kristen actively calling the police on a woman, a black woman, because she had an affair with an absolute trash, horrible decision-making man. And he seemingly did not have them coming for him, you know, in a way trying to ruin him, but they went after her. And then they're putting out the Blackout Tuesday boxes. Like, come on. And all you Vanderpump Rules people that are out there, you know about this. This is not new to you. You've worked through this. And we know that Stassi and Kristen have publicly apologized. They say they have grown, quote, "I have grown significantly from the person I was then," wrote Stassi, adding, "My emotions over something that happened between our friends outweighed my logic, and there's no excuse for that. I did not recognize then the serious ramifications that could have transpired because of my actions." Kristen, in her statement, wrote, "I will do better. I have to do better." So people are not their mistakes. People can grow and change and get better. So that's why watching a preview for episode 3, I believe, of The Valley, where allegedly Kristen is calling someone racist and trying to spread rumors about them. Okay, that's an interesting decision we're making here. I'm like, why would she say this about this woman, Michelle? Is there something, has she ever done anything or said anything? And these people are smart. They're smart because their social media is pretty clean. Like, there's nothing. It's really just like, look at this house. Look at that house. Look at this house, you know, because they're real estate agents. And there's occasionally photos with celebrities and photos with each other and at the Ritz in Paris and things like that. But it's very clean, curated, not going to offend anyone. No personal opinions about life, geopolitics, anything. So that's truly a dead end. I have no idea why Kristen would say what she said. I look forward to seeing episode 3 and seeing her hopefully have to answer for that. But here's what I did find. What I did find was, 3-4 months ago, before the show even aired, people started noticing that there were troubles, seemingly troubles between Jesse and Michelle. Now, for those of you who are also watching The Valley, episode 1 is all you need to see to realize that things aren't going great between Jesse and Michelle. I don't know what got left on the editing room floor. I can only imagine. But Michelle has already said a couple of different things that for many women are kind of deal breakers. That she does 98% of the work, the parenting. He never got up to change a diaper or do anything. He openly said to Jax that things aren't going great and they've had discussions of separation/divorce. So 3 months ago, when the only thing that had been announced was the cast members, people had already started digging and they had noticed that on their Instagram, Michelle, the Christmas stuff, which this whole thing is taking place right before the summer, so like spring, because Kristen keeps talking about how Luke is planning on coming and hanging out with her for the summer. So let's just say June. Let's just say that because I'm not exactly sure. I could go find out, but I'm not going to. I'm tired. So by the time we get to Christmas, Michelle is only showing in her Instagram feed 2 little stockings at the fireplace, one for her daughter Isabella and one for her. There's none for Jesse, sans stocking for Jesse. So that means approximately 6 months after starting to shoot this show, they might have started to go their separate ways. Like, if I ever go missing, I trust the Bravo sphere to find me. We don't miss anything. So everybody's noticing that on May 23rd is the last time that they have a photo together publicly on Instagram. And that for them is weird, because if you go back and look at either of them, especially his, it's nothing but photos of them. My beautiful fiance, my beautiful wife, my beautiful this. It's just hype, hype, hype for the two of them. They were a team, it seems like. So there's a lot of them tagging each other as far as, you know, their real estate jobs and things like that. And so then for it to stop completely, red flag. But honestly, green flag for Michelle, because we want better for every woman. Now, being a jaded soul that has been watching Bravo since the beginning, back when they used to show indie movies, all right, I of course have to ask the question, did they know they were going to have some relationship issues and plan for that to come to fruition on the show as part of a narrative, as part of a hook? So season one, we show how we're not really working out. Why else on episode one, season one, would you have him sitting next to Jax talking about how things aren't going great? Why else would she be so willing to offer up at their first hangout with Nia and Brittany and the babies that he does nothing, he doesn't help her at all? And then when they play that game with the producers, they're like, what word would you say that describes him? And she doesn't go with loving or sweet or caring or any of the other nice words they gave her. I could absolutely be wrong, but I have to ask the question because, I mean, these people, this is reality TV like 3.0. Not only has everybody who's on reality TV now been raised watching reality TV, but now as an adult, they have seen how reality TV works and that you have to have a hook and you have to have a story. Now, supposedly there's going to be a couples retreat in mid-September for all the cast members that are on the Valley. And again, we're starting out before the summer, so we have a couple of episodes to go before we get there. But that seems to be, as far as the Bravosphere viewers are concerned, the last time that two of the couples were really together, and that is Jax and Brittany and what's his nuts? I'm already forgetting. Jesse and Michelle. That's how quick I am to just forget a man that's forgettable. Then there's a blind item. Someone on Reddit says they're totally divorcing. She and her daughter, as in Michelle and Isabella, just moved into my friend's apartment complex and she has a boyfriend. I don't know if I believe that, because they deal in houses. And why wouldn't she keep the house, the Chateau Marmont house, and send him packing? I don't know what I think about that. Someone else on Reddit says, for sure they are broken up. This was 1 month ago they posted it. I saw him at Craig's, as in Jesse, at Craig's in WeHo with a plastic blonde. Wow. Craig's is still the place to go, huh? All right. Plastic blondes are still the hotness. Okay. Some things never change, Los Angeles. Someone else who's been following them says that they are posting each other on stories. So once the story expires after 24 hours, you can't find it again unless someone saves it to their highlights. And they say the last time that he posted her on stories even was mid-September. What I'm saying to you is season two, there's going to be some singles. Something I was really surprised by as I'm digging online and just looking around trying to understand this whole crew is that there's a lot of people who do not trust Luke, the guy that Kristen is dating and trying to have a baby with. I saw something on Bywig Hello Drama posted something from the Vanderpumpaholics Reddit page. It always goes back to Reddit, okay? And it says, the title is, Luke is using Kristen. And someone posted and said, quote, I have the pleasure of having mutual friends with Luke. And since he started dating Kristen, he's been saying it's a business decision to be with her, which checks out with his entrepreneurship he's been talking about. He doesn't actually own all 70 acres in Colorado, parentheses, which is the state in which I am typing out this post. He splits it with a guy he worked with at the restaurant we both worked at and just grows hemp and weed. Well, you have my attention. He has never had to work a day in his life and just worked at our restaurant for the discount. Okay. I can answer more about him. And if anyone has any doubts, hit me up. I can prove what I'm saying. Then emoji with the angel halo. Just a little tea for a Friday evening. I don't even know what to think anymore. Could I have been wrong? Everything is, you know, it's that SpongeBob meme where Mr. Krabs is like, his mouth is open, his little claw arms are up and the whole world's spinning around him. That's how I feel right now. I'm just like, oh, I could have completely misjudged this person. So, for instance, I did not even realize that he is the co-host of a podcast with her. And it's like, I guess, mostly based on their relationship. So someone on Reddit is saying, you know, when they first started dating, I thought he was just a normalish dude from Colorado. Same. She wasn't on TV anymore, so I was hopeful he was with her for the right reasons. Same. Then they started the pod. Then he agreed to do the show. And now he keeps talking about trying to hang out with Sandoval. What? Huge red flag. The rest of the comment is that it seems like if things don't work out with her, he's trying to make sure that he's created other relationships and can be part of the larger VPR Valley group. I'm reading this from Reddit, the Vanderpumpaholics page. This was posted 9 days ago. And the name of this thread that I'm reading is, "This guy is the biggest clout chaser and Kristen should run." I mean, we just cut to it on Reddit. Someone else jumps back in and says, "I commented separately, but I'm hijacking yours to say I work with people who worked with Luke and are still friends with him and have said since the beginning of their relationship, it's a business decision. I'm trying not to dox myself, even though the people who work at this place will know who I am. But yeah, there's more," he said, "but that's the main point of it all." Wow. Now, on the flip side of the coin, there is one comment on this thread that says, "I've known that dude for a few years and he's always been cool with me. Last I heard, he's not going to do any more TV and wants Kristen to move away from LA with him." So we don't know. We don't know. And the real question is, all of this just planted around the internet to try to get people talking and watching the show? I don't put anything past people wanting to thrive on Bravo. And, you know, people who listen to the podcast are saying he seems a little bit mean. He seems like he has some like misogynistic views on the podcast. And time will tell. Time will tell. Some people are saying, "Kristen, you endanger girl" online. Other people think that it's fine. These are just rumors. We will find out. And this is the curse of reality TV, of being famous. These people don't necessarily have a ton of money, but what they do have is eyeballs. They have an ability for someone to infiltrate their circle, to show them attention, especially for, you know, a lot of the ladies who are always looking for a good guy. Because one thing we know from watching these shows is it's very rare to have a quality guy on any of the shows. It almost reminds me of The Bachelor. I used to watch The Bachelor back in the day, and then it started getting where there was always, like, every single season on The Bachelorette, there would be one guy who like brought a guitar with him and everybody knew where it was going. And every second that he had a chance to pull out the guitar and start singing, he would. And he's a musician, and his first album is dropping. And he's just on the show to try to get people to listen to his music. So he's definitely trying to win. He's being nice to the Bachelorette, and I'm sure he would be nice to her until, you know, they break up a year after the show ends, because all he really wanted was the attention from being on the show. But it's that. That is the worry for anybody on reality TV, I think, of, do you actually want to be with me, or do you just want to be amplified in front of millions of people? And then, let's get really nuts, does Kristen care? Either way, we're looking at this, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how terrible. Somebody just wants to be with you because of, but then you think there are probably celebrities who are used to that and fine with it. And I bet a lot of these Bravo celebrities are used to that and fine with it as well. And this is why also with reality TV, you just have to throw your hands up and say, I'm yelling on the roller coaster. I'm going for the ride. I don't have to figure it all out. It used to be we would try to figure stuff out. I think now it's just chaos theory. We just see what we see. We like what we like. We don't like what we don't like. But I have to stop expecting a base level of rational thought and humanity to exist where maybe it doesn't. And that's a great place to start for the recap of episode 2 of The Valley, which picks up with Jax and Kristen going to hang out, and I can't tell if they're having lunch or dinner, but either way, they're going to a steakhouse called the Smokehouse, I think. And I'm pretty sure that I have heard Kristen several times talk about how she is either a vegan or a vegetarian, and something about how Luke likes animals, and so they connected over that. And so this episode starts where they're going to a steakhouse, and I was like, well, Jack's probably picked it. And sure enough, they sit down, they're ordering, and she acknowledges the fact that she does not eat meat. So for him to bring her here is an odd choice. Hashtag Jax is a bad friend. Jax doesn't listen or care about what someone else needs to eat. But he does order a Coca-Cola, and he says to the server, keep them coming. How many people did Coke get to on Bravo? First Beverly Hills, now this. And Jax is going off about how this is the kind of place he would have wanted to work at if he hadn't worked at Vanderpump Rules, because this is the kind of place where, like, directors and producers and stuff, like, they come in here. I have not heard in a very long time, someone correct me if I'm wrong, I have not heard in a very long time of anyone being discovered while they were waiting tables or in a service industry role. And I'm sure that movie producers and directors, the last thing that they want is to try to go to get something to eat and their server is hamming it up and trying to drop them a script or tap dance and tell them how talented they are. Like, that's the whole city of Los Angeles. But yes, sure. And then Jax orders a burger with cheese and ketchup only. And Kristen says, the way kids order. And she's not wrong. But I also just thought it was funny. Like, you go to this steakhouse, this legendary place that you're hyping up, and you just get a cheeseburger. You're not even going to get a steak? Okay. But the smokehouse was seen in the movie La La Land. If you remember when Ryan Gosling is going in to this place to go play the piano, and it doesn't go well. I think he gets fired. That was filmed in the smokehouse, which is in Burbank. It has also been in Argo, Desperate Housewives, 6 Feet Under, The Office, Lethal Weapon TV show, and, drumroll, American Woman. I'm on their website right now, and now I'm actually really personally upset that he just got a cheeseburger with only ketchup. They've got these ribs. I haven't even taken a gummy tonight, but they have got these ribs on their homepage that make me want to scream. They got a little side of baked beans. They got an onion ring on top of the ribs, some kind of potato thing. Maybe, oh, it's a double baked potato. That's what it is. It's a twice baked potato. And they're allegedly famous for their garlic bread. And I don't think either one of these individuals orders the garlic bread. Oh, man. I love garlic bread. And they, Kristen does say that she's a vegetarian. And they, well, I think she got the wedge salad. They do have a Caesar. They have some other kind of salads, I guess, that she could have gotten. Not many, though. And they get into it. I really want them to have enough sustenance, because during this lunch or dinner, whatever it is, they dig into all the same stuff that Jax has been saying. I don't think this is the right guy for you. Why are you trying to have a baby with this man? And she's telling him, Luke, quote, Luke is my forever. I feel it. I feel that. Luke is my forever. And about how she just got a new apartment and she's on the lease, but he is not. And she says to Jax, I need you all to start treating him like he is my forever and not just some dude. Like, do you even know his last name? Do you know where he's from? And Jax is just like, blank stare. How do you not know? He said it a couple of times, but he says, I'll get to know him. We're going to add him to the group. I'm going to get to know him and I'm going to learn his last name. Kristen complains to Jax about Jesse reaching over and touching her nipple after she touched his, waiting in line for the tattoos. And then we end their lunch with Jax paying for it. He really had no reaction to that, by the way. And then we see Jesse and Michelle and their small daughter. And in their confessional on the couch, Michelle says, I really had no idea before we had kids together that he had no patience. Sounds great. Sounds really awesome. There, you know, and what the irritating thing is here is that as they're doing their little confessional, there's this upbeat music like, but they're saying stuff that's a record scratch. They show them with their little daughter trying to get her to ride a bicycle with training wheels. She's very small. She got a little helmet on. She doesn't want to put it on. She throws a fit. She runs off. And they cut to the two of them on a confessional. Lots of cutting back and forth with these two. And they say that, you know, she's the gentle parent, essentially, and that he loses his temper. And so she'll be saying, okay, Isabella, we don't do that or whatever. And he'll run in and be like, Isabella, and she'll stop doing it. Yeah, very different parenting styles there. And then they show the little girl running off, throwing her helmet off and running and sitting down pretty much out of camera sight. She runs back and she sits behind a little pole. And it's got to be weird for a child to have like a camera crew there and your family's trying to get you on this bike and whatever. And so her mom, Michelle, walks over and crouches down to her level
and is rubbing her back. And the little girl's like, I don't want to ride my bike right now, or whatever she's saying. And then they cut to him. And all of a sudden, it's him by himself on a couch. I don't know if she's changed what she wants from me, or if I've changed into someone she no longer wants. And then we shift to seeing Luke and Kristen. I'm slightly concerned for Kristen after what I've read tonight. They are on a hike of some kind. They're running around, but then they cut to them in a confessional. And that's what I'm going to focus on here. They're sitting next to each other on a couch. And the producer asks, who wears the pants in this relationship? And they both agree that Luke does. He wears the pants. And Kristen says, I love that Luke is a man and a leader. Take me, do it. Make the plans. Let's effing go. So let's hope that works out for her. Let's hope that he's up for that challenge and that he can do that and be that, which she's hoping that he is. Okay. All right. We move on. Then we come back to them on their hike and they're sitting down on a little bench. And I think it's Runyon Canyon that they're at. She says to him, I don't want to keep talking about my pregnancy. She's talking about the lunch that she went on with Jax. I don't want to jinx it. I really want to get pregnant, but I know that it's harder for me because of her age. And that she doesn't want to put stress and pressure on herself. And we all say, great, yes, absolutely. But literally, that's how the show started. I said on my first recap, first episode one, they start with Kristen talking about how she wants to have a baby and she's trying to get pregnant. And then the mood changes because Kristen tells her man, she wants to lead her and wear the pants, that she had her nipple tweaked by Jesse. And his face completely falls. He gets so mad and so serious. And he says, there's so much wrong with that. And that's not okay. And Kristen is saying, look, I did it to him first. And then he reaches back and does it to me. And then I, you know, have the problem with it. And he says, my blood is boiling right now. I am not okay with this. And then in a confessional, he's like, I don't trust this guy's judgment. If she had slapped him for tweaking her nipple back, would he have then slapped her back? What is this? And we cut back to the footage on their hike and he's just fuming. He's so mad. And she says, I love when you, it's so hot when you like get mad for me and you like take up for me. This is toxic, ma'am. This is some toxic stuff. So we know immediately there's going to be some kind of confrontation now at the next boys hangout because Luke is mad. Then we cut to Jax's house where he just looks generally irritated to be a parent. His child is running around in the background, squealing. The dog is around. He just looks like all of that is very annoying to him. And the little boy is screaming as in a way, I mean, a parent would know, like the scream is like something is wrong. He's crying, screaming. And so I don't know who it was, if it's one of their mothers or a nanny goes running to him with Brittany behind and Jax does not go. And I guess he got stuck underneath the couch or something. Either way, just I don't like hearing kids cry. Babies or little kids. That's such an issue for me. So that was not fun to watch. And the whole time, just upbeat music, bing, 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 with just a kid screaming in the background. I'm like, I need to sit down. Then we see Nia and Michelle. They are at a Taekwondo studio, I believe. And Nia is talking about how she started Taekwondo as a little girl. And she got all the way up to her, I think she said fourth degree black belt. And this woman just had a baby a month ago, but she's rolling around on the mats showing Michelle stuff. My organs were still slipping around a month later. So kudos, Nia. And Nia says that when she was competing for Miss Universe, she says, quote, Donald Trump, because he bought that organization, Miss Universe, Donald Trump brought all of his creepy, older, wealthy friends to like watch us rehearse. And one of them grabbed her by the waist and pulled her in. So she, having the skill set she had, grabbed his arm, twisted it around and said, you can never touch me again. I'm a black belt. If you try that again, you're going to be hurt. I love her for that. I love her for telling that story. And honestly, tomorrow, if I ran the world, every single woman on earth would have self-defense training from the moment they could walk. Not even just self-defense training. Learn to maim and disable. Oh, they're at a jiu-jitsu studio. I knew that what they were doing, it seemed a little bit more hands-on. Okay, they're at Tao Jiu-Jitsu Studio. And Kristen is there too. All right, now I've got some red flags going up because they're sitting crisscross applesauce, the three of them together chatting.
And Michelle says, I'm definitely going to try that with Jesse, especially with like all the things we're going through. Tell me you're trying to reinforce a storyline without telling me you're trying to reinforce a storyline. She's like, I don't know if I mentioned it. You did. We'll never forget it. That stuff haunted us. I can't get over it. She's like, well, you know, with the marriage and the baby and stuff. Is this rage bait, Michelle? Is this rage bait? Are you just trying to make us all crazy here? I'm wondering now. And Kristen tells them that she's dealing with all the pressure and she doesn't know why the guys are so interested and the whole storyline of her wanting to have a baby and not wanting to be criticized for that. Then we see Jax and Jesse. They're playing roller hockey. Now, the women had just said that they were going to play hockey. I'm imagining ice, like they went to some, I don't know, arena somewhere. It's roller. It's like inline skating hockey. They invited Jason to go with him, the lawyer. Jason does not know how to do this. And so he's almost falling down the whole time. But they do him a solid by showing him shirtless and playing like chicka bow bow music while they do it. Meanwhile, Jax and Jesse are scooting around like they were born with rollerblades on their feet. Now, here's a part that I found really fun. So they're trying to scare him, which is not cool. And they're saying like all the fun stuff you used to do. Jax is skating around him with his little backwards hat on, saying all the fun stuff you used to do, all your fun hobbies and stuff. Soon as baby comes, all gone. Sir, you're saying that as you're playing hockey with him while you have a child. What are you talking about? You are still playing your fun little games and hobbies, even though you have a child at home. How dumb do you have to be? This just makes me so mad when people try to paint this scary, devastating picture of what it is to have a child when someone is pregnant and expecting, when the couple is expecting and they're just like, well, enjoy that now because you're never going to sleep again. How does that help anyone? Let go of all your hobbies now, says the grown adult skating around on what, a Thursday afternoon playing hockey with his friends. And then we find another reason to like Jason the lawyer, because in a confessional, Jack says how irritating it is to have a friend like Jason who's a lawyer. Because whenever Jax tells him something, Jason doesn't just jump on the bandwagon with him. He says, now hold on, let's look at this from another angle. And that's so annoying to Jax. But speaking of annoying, we're just getting started, because then Jax confronts Jesse as they're taking their little rollerblades off. And he says, did you tweak Kristen's nipple? She said that she did it to you when you were waiting in line for a tattoo. And then you reached over and did the same thing back to her. Did you do that? And Jason has a look of shock on his face. And Jesse realizes that was not a cool thing to do. And so he stares blankly and then he says, I don't remember doing that. And then, quote, the nipple twister doesn't seem like kind of my style. Really? It doesn't? That's not how they welcome you when you check in at the Ritz in Paris?
Oh, thank you so much for spending $2,000 a night with us at the Ritz in Paris. Please open your jacket so that we may tweak your nipples upon check-in.
And Jason, being the lawyer voice of reason, says in his confessional that a woman's nipple is an elevated nipple. And I agree that a man's nipple is definitely not as big of a deal to tweak than a woman's nipple is. But he says, having said that, that he has very sensitive nipples and he would not like that at all. And we respect that, Jason. Here's where I get irritated. Jax then says to Jesse, I don't know if she's making this up or what's real. You don't know she's making it up. She told you something and you say to yourself, you throw out in the universe the realm of possibility that maybe she's just making it up because Jesse looked at you with a scared look on his face and says he doesn't remember doing it. And then he starts to generate excuses like, well, maybe you were drinking and I know what I did was wrong.
But what I did was like a little more of like a bro on bro kind of a thing, you know?
And then things go from bad to worse. Why is Kristen friends with Jax is what I start to wonder, because Jax says, would it be bad if I invited Kristen's ex, Alex, I believe is his name, ex, to hang out with the boys so he can like have a little bit of like a powwow with Luke? Yeah, that's not a good idea. That sounds like a horrible idea. Why would you do that? What's the point? Are they going to all live together happily in a house? Why does Luke need to have any kind of rapport with Kristen's ex who kicked her out and sold her furniture? And she has said that at least three times. Then something very unexpected happens. very unexpected. Jesse says something that I agree with. Jesse says, I think you're a child for even suggesting this. And why are you inserting yourself into their relationship? Wow, Jesse, was he body snatched? I don't know, but I like that comment. I think Kristen doing something to his nipple maybe changed him in fundamental ways. Then we have a scene where Janet goes shopping for nursery stuff. She hasn't bought anything for the nursery. She's about 6 months pregnant. She needs all of that stuff. She's overwhelmed by it. And I don't know what her backstory is and how many siblings she had and all of that stuff. But I felt her pain because she walked in and she's like, I thought I was just going to pick a few things, but there's so much stuff in the store and I don't know what any of it is. And I have to just keep telling myself that people did this in caves. It's going to be okay. So Brittany's there and she's trying to help her out. And Jasmine is there too. And Jasmine explains in a confessional that they all used to live in the same apartment complex. So it was kind of like Melrose Place. And now some of them have split off and live in the valley and are doing adult and baby things, but that they've known each other for a very long time. And Brittany is excited because they're going to have girls' night the next night. And she wants to get Nia tipsy because she knows she's dealing with a lot of new mom stress with a toddler and two infants. Then we cut to Nia and she's holding her newest infant. And she's the kind of mom, like, she looks great. You know what I'm saying? I could never. She's beauty queen background. I don't know how she's doing it, but she's full hair and makeup, beautiful dress. Baby's got a bow on its little newborn head. Toddler's running around yelling. I don't even know how she does it. I was wearing my husband's basketball shorts for like 3 months after I had a baby. I was rocking the Adam Sandler post-baby attire. She's an inspiration for sure. So they ask in a confessional, how did Danny meet Nia? And he said that he met her. He went to somebody's engagement party and he turned to his friend and said, that's the most beautiful person I've ever seen. But she was with someone. And then months later, he said he was volunteering or doing some charity work at a church and she showed up. And then we cut back to them and she's preparing him because she's going to go on some sort of girls trip, I believe. Anyway, he's going to be by himself. And I guess they're newborn. They're feeding every 2 hours. So he's going to need help at night and she's going to buy some formula because she's pumping, but she won't be there. It's a whole thing when you leave, when you have a small child, as many of us know. And we also learn more. We learned so much about Nia in this episode. Honestly, this episode stands out as a winner to me because we learned so much about her. And then she says what she's doing now, which she does pageant coaching. And he's so supportive. He comes over and he's giving her kisses. You can just tell there's real love between them and that he appreciates her and he's an equal partner. I really enjoy watching them. And they also talk about what happened at Janet's shower where Jax pantsed Danny. And she says, like, I don't need that. He doesn't need to be adding anything onto me right now. And then in a confessional, she says she doesn't know how to describe it, but all the heavy hormones and emotions, I'm like, stop right there. We know. We know. So many of us know. And that she asks herself when she starts to feel it, like, is this my new normal? And she says, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's going to get better. It will. It absolutely will. I cannot imagine having that many kids that close together and what must be just pumping through her body on top of being on TV, knowing you're being filmed, having people come into your home, having to, yes, she was a pageant person. So she's used to doing like hair and makeup and looking her best and putting on that face, you know, even if she doesn't feel her best, it's still a lot. And as if I couldn't enjoy her more, you know, they're making jokes and stuff and Danny's holding the baby and he's saying like, you know, for Jax to do that and you're a fourth degree black belt, you could have kicked his butt. And she says, well, yeah, you know, with that comes responsibility though, and I'm not going to just hurt someone. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, she's got the knowledge to actually cause damage. And for someone to have respect for that, you don't just go around wielding that. She realizes that that's something she has to only use if she's, you know, in harm's way. Not her husband getting pantsed by a childish reality TV dude. But where a lot of couples seem to be on the rocks, Jax and Brittany, I don't know what's happening with them. I really don't. And it doesn't seem good, though. And then Michelle and Jesse obviously are very eager to have that be their storyline. And it may or may not be legit real stuff happening behind the scenes. So the only two couples that seem to be pushing through and really have a good connection are Janet and Jason, who are expecting their baby, and then Danny and Nia, who have their three kids under two. Then in a scene that was very bad for my rage, Michelle is in her kitchen. Of course, you know, Jesse, her husband, comes walking in and she's taking a bunch of like to-go food bags out. I don't know what's in the bags, but I immediately want it because the bags are a little greasy. So I'm like, what's in there? Is it chips? Is it fries? Is it a burger? What's in the bag? What's in the bag? Anyway, but he comes in, he cramps my style because he's like, oh, you know, you would have thought you would have like planned this out better. Like people are coming over in like 30 minutes. This food's not even like out. And she's like, I was with the baby. Again, the baby is much older now. It's the child. But yeah, so she's pointing out, sure, I could have had that done, but I was parenting. I was parenting, Jesse. Where were you? And that's the stuff she needs to go ahead and say out loud. Because as many of us know, like I think today I had attempted to unload the dishwasher. And it took about, you know, normally you unload the dishwasher. It seems like it takes forever because you do it so many times in your life. You're like, it's hour 7 of me unloading the dishwasher. In reality, I've timed it myself before and it's less than 5 minutes to unload the dishwasher. No matter how full it is, it's less than 5 minutes. It just feels like a lot because it's like Sisyphus just pushing that rock up the hill. It's just going to roll back down again every single day with the damn dishwasher. But my point is, you're hanging out with your child and it can take a while to unload the dishwasher because you get distracted. You got to go do kid stuff. You got to read a book or play a game or draw with your crayons, whatever it is. She can't do both. How dare Jesse? But these are things I don't expect him to understand. Then we go to an extremely awkward scene. Jax and Luke are out on like a bro date of some kind. And Jax says that it feels like it's a situation where like your mom tells you you have to hang out with someone. Like he's just doing it for Kristen, but he's making it weirder than it needs to be. And Luke seems to be there earnestly. And I can't tell where they are. I probably missed it. I don't care. It looks like a Dave and Buster's. And Luke says a very normal question. He's like, how have things been going? What have you been up to? Jax cannot even spit out an answer. He's like, yeah, well, I don't know. I just, you know, things are going. Stop making it weird. And then Danny shows up, thankfully. And as soon as Danny shows up, Jax is all of a sudden like, oh, bro, dude, can we hug it out about the pantsing? And Danny says in a confessional that he's a good sport. He doesn't hold a grudge. He knows that Jax has a good heart and he's been friends with him for a long time. And yeah, they're going to move on. It's not a big deal. He's been pantsed before. It was just in middle school. And then we start really getting into what the kerfluffle is going to be for boys tonight, which is that Luke is waiting for Jesse to show up so that he can confront him about touching Kristen's nipple. And then Jesse walks in. And last episode, the very first episode, everyone described Jesse and Michelle as the bougiest of all the couples. And in this episode, at one point, Brittany goes on and on about the only person that she's ever met that's almost as bougie as Lisa Vanderpump is Jesse. Jesse's very bougie, blah, blah, blah. So in walks bougie Jesse in what looks like a Hanes t-shirt and a backwards hat. The uniform of all bougie boys. And to add insult to injury, it must be cold in there because his nipples were hard. And as soon as he walks in, Luke is irritated. And Jesse says hi to them, gives them fist bumps, and then walks over to the bar to order a drink. And Luke says, it's literally the only thing on my mind. Well, yeah. Obviously, this man just walked over in an almost sheer Fruit of the Loom looking V-neck with erect nipples, just throwing it in your face. Nipplegate. And Jesse goes up to the bar and we think it's going to happen there, but it doesn't. And when he comes back, Luke finally says, I have something I need to talk to you about. I heard something that happened on Saturday that was pretty upsetting. And he's like rubbing his mouth with his hand. I'm like, that's not a power move. Stop doing that. You're supposed to wear the pants in this family. I need you to just sit up straight and get your hands away from your mouth. Jesse says, okay. And he's leaning on the table and he takes a little sip of his drink. And then Luke says, you grabbed her boob? To which Jesse says, so I'll be completely honest with you. I don't remember her touching me or grabbing my nipple. And I don't remember doing it to her. And I'm not saying it's a lie. And this is where I appreciate Luke. Whoever he may really be, whatever his true motivations might be, he jumps in. He says, there's no question whether it did or didn't happen. And Jesse says, well, there's a question for me. And Luke pushes back again. He says, well, there's no question for Kristen.
that it actually happened, the person who was touched. And there's no question for me because I believe her. And Jesse jumps in. He's like, well, I'm an adult. I'm not going to argue that it didn't happen. And Jesse maintains, I'm not the type of person. Now, at this point, the camera people who are holding the cameras 2 feet away, holding a microphone, they know. It's so odd. The way we treat these casts, it's almost like the wildlife photographers who can't intervene if they see an animal in trouble. Why can't they just turn to Joe and be like, Joe, did he tweak the nipple? And Joe can just nod. Why must we go through this charade? But Luke says, look, you need to own up to this. You need to apologize. And you owe Kristen an apology after this too. And surprisingly, Jesse complies. He's like, 100%. Do you ever notice, by the way, how often people on Bravo say 100%? Is it that 100% is that common in slang right now in this country or in the world, period? Or is that 100% is something that Bravo celebrities just say a lot? I'm not sure, but I notice it. But Jesse's still flopping on the docks, and he's like, if it was something playful and like I grabbed her somewhere I shouldn't have, like, I apologize for that. And I'll talk to her about it, and I'll apologize for doing it. Then in a confessional, a producer asks, these producers are so messy, I swear. A producer asks Jesse, do you feel threatened at all by Luke? And Jesse's answer is,
that's like asking a panther if they're afraid of a kitten.
Sir, are you the panther in this analogy? Okay, I just had to check. Then we cut back to them dapping it out and doing the bro hug and Luke saying, just follow through with Kristen and we're good, which I always enjoy at the end of a meeting when somebody sums up the action item of what needs to be done. I think that's helpful, Luke. Then we show Jax confessing to Danny that he has invited Alex to join them at this Dave and Buster's or Dave and Buster's knockoff place that they're at. And Danny's reaction is all of ours. He laughs with a look of horror on his face. And Jax is like really, really laying it on thick about why it's not a big deal. Like, oh, it's not a big deal. I'm friends with all my exes. And, you know, I just think it'd be good. It'd be good for like all the bros to hang out. And in a confessional, Danny continues to endear himself to all of us by saying, I am not friends with any of my exes. Nia's not friends with any of my exes. And that is how you protect a relationship. Exactly. And then Jax delivers just such a burn. I don't know how he's friends with Kristen. I really don't. He says, if I can't hang out with anyone that Kristen has slept with, I would not have any friends. Mm-mm-mm. Cut to Nicki Minaj yelling, did I lie? But still, that's a rough one. Then we see everybody showing up to Michelle's house, the bougie house near Chateau Marmont. And I was right. It was chips. It was chips in the bag. It's like a taco night. And she's got a big bowl of chips and all kinds of like delicious little snacky snacks everywhere. And Zach is there because he considers himself part of like the girls' night crew, which is fun. And I learned something today. I learned that a platinum gay, which he calls himself a platinum gay, has never been in a vagina. He was born via C-section and he never had a dalliance with a lady. So platinum gay. Good to know. Thanks, Zach. And then there's a really fun moment where everybody has showed up and just walked in. Like Zach showed up, he knock-knocked and just walked in the door. Brittany showed up and she knock-knocked and walked in the door. It was unlocked. Now the door is locked when Kristen shows up. So she's trying to get in and she's knocking and they keep cutting back to it. I swear these editors, and there's someone out there. There's a camera on her outside. So obviously a camera person is out there. How are they not laughing? How is this footage so steady? I don't know. What a skill set to have to be able to hold that camera and just compartmentalize and focus on the camera work and the lighting and the angles you're getting and not on the fact that this person is out there shaking the doorknob, yelling for what seems like forever. And then she finally turns the doorknob a different direction. I can't. I'm going to joke. And the door opens and she walks in. That was fun, Kristen. Thank you. Nia shows up looking beautiful. Her hair is gorgeous. And she says, can I put my milk in your fridge? I pumped on the way here. We do it all. The ladies do it all. And they all grab a drink and they all go outside to sit and chat. And Brittany is being extremely sweet to Nia, just like, you know, telling her she's beautiful and she looks great. And she's still so sorry about what happened at the baby shower with her husband pantsing Nia's husband.
And Nia says, like, even now, if I think about it, like, it makes me sad to think about it. Like, I can't. And Brittany says that Jax was heartbroken seeing that he had upset her and he felt terrible. So we're kind of rehashing that for a minute. And Brittany acknowledges that Jax has grown up in a lot of ways, but in other ways, not so much. Now we go back to boys' night. And Jax, who's in a faded, ripped up, very, very faded, like 1980s jean jacket. And I just want to point out that in this episode, there are three different men wearing jean jackets in different levels of fade and disrepair. I guess jean jackets are back. Did they ever go out? I don't know. But either way, they're back in a big way in the valley. And he pulls Luke aside and he says to him, I really want you to like hang out with the group. Like, I want you part of this group. Like as much as anyone. Like, and I don't want to have to worry about like who's going to be there. I'm like, all right, he's warming him up to tell him that he has invited Kristen's ex Alex to come hang out with them, and Alex should be arriving shortly. So he finally gets it out. He finally blurts it out. And Luke is like, what's the point? Why would I hang out with my girlfriend's ex-boyfriend? Great, valid questions, Luke. And in a confessional, he says that he has heard from Kristen how upset that relationship made her, that this guy Alex is still a trigger for her. And so he immediately is questioning, why would a friend of hers invite this guy to this hangout? And Jax is really just, he's laying it on so thick. He's trying so hard to make it seem like there's some positive reason for this, when we all know watching it, it's just for drama. Period. Are y'all not interesting enough to pull off boys' night without inviting Kristen's ex-boyfriend to meet her new guy and him only finding out he's coming the night of? So Jax is like flailing with his hands in the air and he's like, well, you guys can just like laugh it off now. Laugh off what? Why are we doing this? Did you really feel like the show needed this that badly? And Luke is very direct. He looks Jax right in the face and he says, I'm not going to be okay with a guy like that. And I'm watching this and I'm yelling. I'm like, Luke, just leave. Just leave. Because there has to be a consequence. And Jax can't get what he wants out of this situation, because then that just teaches him that he can do this and set you up for future events. You know what I mean? Like, he should just get out of there. And just as he's saying that, he's saying like, I've got her back 100%. I have no interest in getting to know this guy or hanging out with this guy. We turn this man that walks through the door. I did not expect. All right. He just comes walking through the door, and Haynes must have been having a sale, because he just has like a Haynes t-shirt on under a jacket, white pants, which is always a choice, and then a white beanie. And he just comes strolling on in. And as he's strolling in, Jax says, I just want to make sure that you're getting all the right stories. Jax, you're a snake in the grass. How can you call yourself a friend of Kristen? How are you going to take somebody out to a steakhouse who's a vegetarian and then invite their current boyfriend out, not tell him that you're inviting the ex-boyfriend who kicked her out after she sold her house, sold all her furniture off, and you're going to tell him, I want to make sure you're getting all the right stories? So right there, you're alleging that Kristen might not have been honest with him. Now, Alex walks in and he yells, the boys! I felt like I was like, why am I watching this? That's when I start to say to myself, what am I doing here? Why am I watching these horrible men? And in Women's History Month, no less, you know, I did not see myself watching the Valley, but here we are. And I guess I'm just hoping that these women leave these men. That's what we're going to see on this show. And he says it again, the boys. And Luke's back is to it. So he just hears someone saying, the boys, and people being like, yo, it's good to see you, man. The prodigal friend returns. Like, and he says to Jax, is he here? And Jackson, they just stare at each other. And Jack says, man, I effed up, didn't I? Jack, stop it. You knew that you did. You knew that this was horrible from the minute that you conjured this, and you did it anyway. This is essentially him pantsing Luke. He's going to have to just show his domination over every single different cast member, I think. Then we jump back to ladies' night, and they're all outside. And Michelle says, has anybody heard from her husbands? I haven't heard from anyone tonight. And Nia says, I'll text Daniel, which right there just shows you, like, this woman knows that if she texts her husband, he's going to text her right back, which is great. We love them. And Brittany says,
Oh, you know what, Kristen, I should tell you something, but I don't want you to freak out, though, all right?
Oh, God. And so Kristen's like, what? And she says,
I think Alex is going to be there tonight.
And the light goes out of Kristen's face, and she says, are you effing kidding me? And Brittany goes into damage control because that's her entire life. She has her MRS in damage control. And we cut to Zach's face. I'm going to put it in my stories. The look on Zach's face. He looks off into the distance and he just has like a finger against his brow. Like, I don't know. I don't know if he's used to this and so this doesn't shock him. It's more of the same. Or if he's just bracing himself for what's about to happen. But it's, the look on his face is absolutely hilarious. And Kristen says, come the F on, Brittany. Kristen starts going off. She's yelling. She's like, I don't want my ex around me, around my family, around, you know, my boyfriend, any of that. Why is this so hard for anyone to understand? And Brittany, she falls in line and she says,
Jack's actually had good intentions.
Good intentions for ratings. Good intentions for clickbait, rage bait. That's about it.
He wants everybody to be okay to hang out.
Why would someone ever hang out with their current girlfriend or wife or future mother of their child's ex that they had a volatile, horrible relationship and breakup with, Brittany? And in a confessional, Kristen says that she started dating Alex when she was still on Vanderpump Rules. But when everything came crashing down, and by everything, we mean what I talked about in the beginning of this episode, which is when she got kicked off the show with Stassi, she said Alex belittled her, made fun of her, and made her feel like she was a washed up ex-reality TV loser. And she says that's not something you want to hear from your boyfriend. And Kristen's like, why do you keep pretending like Jax and Alex are friends and like they need to be hanging out? And I mean, Brittany's really going to bat. She's like, because they are friends. He is friends with him. And we cut to Zach on a couch saying, there is no winner on who is the messiest because Kristen and Jax are tied for messiest, period. But just when you think that Zach is, you know, a normal person, he says, but it's just because they love each other. What? Okay. They're messy and try to destroy each other because they love each other. That's what love is, for sure. Let's definitely rewrite all the sonnets that have ever existed. Now, Brittany's going in real deep. Real deep on this. She is Jack's, whatever he does is great, and she is going to defend it into the land of foolishness. Tom foolery, Jack's foolery. So she says to Kristen that Alex has more of a right to be there at boys' night than Luke does because they were friends before. Now back at boys' night, we've really got some mind games going. So Luke, instead of leaving, which he should absolutely do, has made a stance, drawn a boundary, that he is not going to say a word to Alex. And now we have Jax saying that he's childish for that, especially as somebody who's trying to be part of a new friend group. In his confessional, he says that Luke is striking out for this. Jax, you set this man up for absolute failure. There's no way for him to succeed in this evening of boys' night. Now, meanwhile, Jax and Alex are commiserating about Kristen over skee-ball. Skee-ball. I don't like either of these men, and I don't like hearing from them, and I don't like seeing them. And Alex is, and that's the thing is, like, I'm not like sticking up for Kristen. Just in general, I don't like the way that they're talking about Alex's ex-girlfriend, who supposedly is a dear, dear friend of Jax's, but they're complaining about her in such a way it feels disgusting. Alex is saying, she lived rent-free in my house for 6 months. And Jax is saying that Luke is currently, you know, all caught up in the, well, the sex is great and everything. And Alex is like, well, I was there, you know, I was there too at one point. And Jax says to Alex, I think it's a matter of time before he just becomes another casualty. Kristen, if you can't see that this man is not your friend, I have no pity for you. Then we cut back to the ladies' night where Brittany is relentless. She is like the Terminator
have you seen this boy? She will stop at nothing to keep defending Jax. And so she's going in again. She's like, you should know more than anyone that like him wanting him to be there is like a real big deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big deal for him wanting to be there. And it's a good thing. And Kristen says, I don't give a shit, Brittany. And Brittany looks like she is very offended to hear that and can't even imagine how Kristen would say that to her. She says it again to Brittany, I don't give a shit, which was just a beautiful delivery. But Brittany won't stop. She can't stop. Kristen says, Jax is just being malicious. And Brittany says, and are you not? And you're not. You're not trying to also be malicious. And Kristen says, about what? What am I doing? What am I actively doing? And Brittany just has a blank look on her face because I don't think she thought that one through. We pan around to girls' night. We see a shocked look on everyone's face. Zach, shocked. Nia, shocked. Jasmine, shocked. Everyone, not knowing what to do. Then screen goes to black. The number 5. Bloop. 5 minutes later. And I'm thinking, what could happen 5 minutes later? Are we talking about guys' night 5 minutes? Boys' night 5 minutes later? Or this same girls' night 5 minutes later? And we see Zach in the kitchen yelling, saying, I never said that. And Kristen saying, Zach got real scared when I told the truth. And Jasmine is now in it. And she says, now you're effing lying again. Talking to Kristen. And Zach is yelling from the kitchen saying, never, Michelle, ever. And someone is screaming, Kristen, shut the F up right now. And I don't even know who it is because we're just seeing Kristen's face. But things have gone sideways at girls' night. Kristen was upset and bad things are happening when Kristen gets upset is what we're learning. And someone says, that is not true. And don't you dare say that. And then we see poor, sweet, sweet Nia just wiping tears because she's crying. Guys, she's got hormones. Can we not? Can we not stress Nia out for one outing? It really honestly is upsetting to me because I get that this whole show is going to be about mess and chaos. I don't think that Nia is in a place right now where that's necessarily like the best choice for her to be around. Honestly, as much as I want to just go along with the insanity of it all, it does really upset me to see Nia crying again in another episode. And this whole drama has to be the big thing coming out about Kristen alleging that someone told her that Michelle is a Republican and is racist and all this stuff happening. And I don't know how we got there in 5 minutes between Brittany and Kristen yelling about her ex-boyfriend going to boys' night. I don't know where that leap came from, but that's how that episode ends on that cliffhanger. We're not supposed to know what it is they're fighting about, but we figured it out. And after episode 2, I still don't know what I think about this show. I still don't know. I'm going to keep with it for a little bit because I want Michelle to leave Jesse and I want Nia to have a good episode. And I would like somebody to check Jax, you know, and honestly, Brittany, too. Y'all got to stop doing this or at least just be honest about it. I would have so much more respect if he was like, I just invited Alex to see how Luke would handle it. I want to see what he's made of. At least just say that. Don't be like, no, I just want everyone to hang out. I just want everyone to be friends. Stop it. That might work with Brittany. It does not work with everyone else. So that's the valley. I think nothing but bad things are going to happen for a lot of these couples. And I don't know how much longer this show is going to go on for, but we can say we watched it. You know, I need to watch the Potomac reunion. I'm going to try to do that this week as well. Like and subscribe to the pod for more of that. Next episode dropping on Thursday. That will cover probably Potomac and episode 3 of The Valley. In the meantime, whatever you do, don't be like Jesse. I don't care if a woman touches your nipple first. You don't get to reach over and grab hers. As Jason the lawyer said, a woman's nipple is an elevated nipple. It is not like a guy's nipple. Resist the urge to touch it.